In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, we are here at the Sunday after Pentecost, the first of a series of Sundays that will celebrate the great gift of the Holy Spirit upon us to become the body of Christ in the church. Pentecost is a celebration that begins with that descent of the Holy Spirit and continues from the time of the apostles, through the time of the martyrs, venerable fathers and mothers, all the way down to our current times. It's a celebration that continues to flourish. And we see that flourishing most concretely in the saints, those who blossom in the life of Christ. Our church is adorned with greenery still celebrating that blossoming. We have before us the icon of all of the saints, which shows us all those different types of people from every day and age, from every walk of life and every profession, from every ethnic background, every social strata, people who became holy. And that holiness was an experience of God Himself. That holiness was an experience of life unlike anything on this earth. They were those who were in the world but not of it. They were those of whom the world was not worthy, the saints. And of course, this is our calling, to be like them, to be united to God in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not only why we're here in the church, but this is why God brought us into existence. There is no other reason for our existence but to come to know the one true God. That is the only reason we were called into existence, so that we could share in the life of God. The apostles knew this, and they experienced a life utterly transcendent. We read in the Acts of the Apostles about that early Christian community. It says in chapter 2, "And they, the believers, all those who heard the preaching of the gospel, they were continually, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and miracles took place through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all, according as anyone had need. And continually, with one accord, they were in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they shared food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all of the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." It's remarkable, listening to the life of those first Christians. It's remarkable because of how transcendent their life truly was. Of course, we're Christians today, receiving that same gift of the Holy Spirit, called to that same life and that same transcendence. We're called to be in the world but not of it. But do we arrive at that? We arrive at that transcendence, that union with God, that life that we came into existence for? Or do we settle? This is a question for each and every one of us. Today, on the Sunday of All Saints, we remember not only the saints of every day and age, but we have the privilege at this particular church to remember the anniversary of our first services here. It was in 2012 that we had our last Pentecost at our old location on Route 26 in Dagsboro. And we packed up the church on that day and we moved everything here. And it was that next Sunday, the Sunday of All Saints, that we had our first services here. And we were reminded that we're called to be saints. And this building here is meant to be a factory producing saints. These people of whom the world is not worthy. That was a great time in the life of our church. Who remembers that? Who was here for that? Who remembers that? Can't forget it, right? Because there was a certain Pentecostal spirit to the church at that time. The way it happened. And there's too much to recount. Just think about the last year even. Last year we were gathered here at this church. We had a mortgage of, I don't know how many, hundreds of thousands of dollars. This year we don't have it anymore. Why? Because of transcendent life. Because of the grace of God. And because people became united to Him. The church continues to flower saints. People who are sanctified. I want to share with you today two quotes. One is from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who on July 8, 1978, delivered the commencement address at Harvard. The Harvard Address, as it has become popularly known, is most likely Solzhenitsyn's most famous work of nonfiction. Remember, he was a great writer who exposed to the world the fallacies of communism and the atrocities of that regime. He came to the United States, eventually he returned to Russia. And when he spoke at Harvard University, he had knowledge, he had experience, and he had the grace of God. He was an Orthodox Christian, and he was a believer. I'm going to read to you a section from his commencement address. And it's well worth reading the whole thing. You can find it on pravmir.com. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, "As long as we wake up every morning under a peaceful sun," in other words, no world war, "we tend to lead an everyday life. There is a disaster, however, which has already been underway for quite some time. I am referring not to world war, but to the calamity of a despiritualized and irreligious humanistic consciousness." What he's talking about is a life lived outside of God. "To such consciousness, man is the touchstone in judging and evaluating everything on earth. Imperfect man, who is never free of pride, self-interest, envy, vanity, and dozens of other defects. We are now experiencing the consequences of mistakes which had not been noticed at the beginning of the journey. On the way from the Renaissance to our days, we have enriched our experience, but we have lost the concept of a supreme, complete entity, which used to restrain our passions and our irresponsibility. We have placed too much hope in political and social reforms, only to find out that we have been deprived of our most precious possession, our spiritual life. In the East," and he's talking about Russia, "it is destroyed by the dealings and machinations of the ruling party, communism. In the West, commercial interests tend to suffocate it. This is the real crisis. The split in the world between East and West, communism and capitalism, is less terrible than the similarity of the disease plaguing both worlds." The disease that destroys spiritual life, humanism. "If humanism were right in declaring that man is born to be happy, he would not be born to die. Since his body is doomed to die, his task on earth evidently must be of a more spiritual nature. It cannot be unrestrained enjoyment of everyday life. It cannot be the search for the best ways to obtain material goods, and then cheerfully get the most out of them. It has to be the fulfillment of a permanent, earnest duty, so that one's life journey may become an experience of moral growth, so that one may leave life a better human being than one started it. It is imperative to review the table of widespread human values. Its present incorrectness is astounding. It is not possible that assessment of a president's performance be reduced to the question of how much money one makes or of unlimited availability of gasoline. Only, he says, voluntary, inspired self-restraint can raise man above the world stream of materialism. Voluntary, inspired self-restraint. What's he talking about? What is this voluntary, inspired self-restraint? What does the Lord tell to his disciples? If you want to follow me, if you want to, if you volunteer for this, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. What did we hear in today's gospel reading? He who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my heavenly Father. He who denies me before men, I will also deny. And then he goes on to say, if anyone loves father or mother, brother or sister, wife or children, more than me, he's not worthy of me. And if anyone doesn't take up his cross and follow me, he's not worthy of me. And then you remember what the disciples said to that? Who remembers? We just heard it. What did the disciples say? Lord, we've left everything to follow you. What will we have? And what they'll have is everything. And they'll have it for eternity. Because they'll have it in God. Man is meant for God and God alone. Man is not meant to be humanistic, where he becomes his own God, where he is his own judge, where he establishes his own laws, his own ways, his own criteria of what's good and what's bad. Man is meant not to be materialistic, but spiritual, because God is spirit. And those who worship him, worship him in spirit and truth. We're called to be godly. We're called to be saints. And yet, despite the great cloud of witnesses, we know the pressure to be otherwise, to be earthly. Solzhenitsyn, he talks about his struggles. You can read that address, you can read his other works. He talks about how difficult it was under communism to be a Christian. But he also opens our eyes, if we're willing to have them opened, to see how difficult it is to be a Christian in the West, under secular, humanistic materialism. How difficult it is to live like the apostles, to have that grace, to have that life, to settle for a life of ease. The church sings today, and we heard it in the Tripari, we heard it in the hymns last night about the martyrs, those who did confess, did not deny, but confessed the Lord. And they laid down everything, including their lives, for him. And in him they received everything. We laud the martyrs. We emulate them. There was something about the martyrs. We know the lives of the saints, our church history. They were tempted. Usual practice would be somebody would be brought before the governor or the emperor. And they said, deny the Lord. Reject him. Give up on this transcendent life. Become like us. And they would be offered things. They would be bribed. Here's a good position in the army. Make you a senator. Give you money or property. be able to care for not just yourself, but for your family. Everything will be good for you. You'll have a good life. You know what the martyrs did? They said, I left that long ago when I died with Christ. So they were put to torture. If the sweet things of life won't entice you, maybe the bitter will turn you away from this Christ. And they were tortured in such horrific ways and in such innumerable numbers. We even sung in one of the hymns last night that it was the blood of the martyrs that watered the church, that watered these plants that are here, that gave greenery. Because when the blood went into the ground, the spirit of the people rose because they saw that transcendent life. They saw something that inspired them. They saw, these are people of whom the world is not worthy. I want that. That is what I want. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and miracles took place through the apostles. And all who believed had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them all. They had everything in oneness. What were they? Were they communists? Is that what this is about? Is that what the church is about? Communism? I think Solzhenitsyn thought the church is about communism. Communism is a forced oneness, a government-controlled oneness, a oneness that lacks love because it's forced. No one's going to force you in the church. Yes, we're going to talk about this transcendent life, but no one's going to force it on you. We could sit in this church for the rest of our days. We could hear about this transcendent life in the gospel, in the lives of the saints. We can hear about it continually, and we could just say, well, you know, Father John, that's great, pie in the sky. That doesn't really happen anymore, even though it has happened here. We're witnesses. We're sitting in a concrete, evidential place where it's happened. We could reject it. We can. But we can also freely choose it. Voluntarily. We can be inspired. We can practice self-restraint and self-denial. We can actually love God more than ourselves, to the point where we're willing to lay down our life for Him. Brothers and sisters, every year we talk about these same things. Same invitation is made. And every year, some make that ascent. And every year, some don't. What are we going to do? It is now our fifth year here. Have we made that ascent? And if we haven't, what are we waiting for? That life is so much better. We should want it for ourselves. We should want it for our children. I'm going to leave you with one quote. And this is from St. John Chrysostom. And he speaks about our children. And it's so important to think about our children. Because if we care for nothing in this world, we must at least care for our children. He says, let everything take second place to our care for our children. Our bringing them up to the discipline and instruction of the Lord. If from the beginning we teach them to love true wisdom, they will have greater wealth and greater glory than riches can provide. He says, if a child learns a trade or is highly educated for a lucrative profession, all this is nothing compared to the art of detachment from riches. If you want to make your child rich, teach him this detachment. He who is truly rich is he who does not desire great possessions or surround himself with wealth, but he who requires nothing. he who requires nothing. Why does someone become rich by acquiring nothing? By desiring nothing? Because that person has God, who is everything. Brothers and sisters, know the world you live in. Know the temptations that are there. Be like the martyrs. Push aside the sweet things. Be willing to endure the bitter things. And take hold of that transcendent life, which is here, which is blossoming, and which you and I are called. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Forever and ever.